We are not privy to the stories behind people's actions, so we should be patient with others and suspend judgment of them, recognizing the limits of our understanding. Live as if you were living a second time, and as though you had acted wrongly the first time. Ever more people today have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. Ultimately, man should not ask what the meaning of his life is, but rather must recognize that it is he who is asked. In a word, each man is questioned by life, and he can only answer to life by answering for his own life. To life he can only respond by being responsible. I grasped at the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry and human thought and belief have to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love. You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. Very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking. If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. How much time he gains who does not look to see what his neighbor says or does or thinks, but only at what he does himself to make it just and holy. You always own the option of having no opinion. There is never any need to get worked up or to trouble your soul about things you can't control. These things are not asking to be judged by you. Leave them alone. No great thing is created suddenly, any more than a bunch of grapes or a fig. If you tell me that you desire a fig, I answer you that there must be time. Let it first blossom, then bear fruit, then ripen. Appearances to the mind are of four kinds. Things either are what they appear to be, or they neither are nor appear to be, or they are and do not appear to be. Or they are not, and yet appear to be. Rightly to aim in all these cases is the wise man's task. Some things are in our control, and others not. Things in our control are opinion, pursuit, desire, aversion, and in a word, whatever are our own actions. Things not in our control are body, property, reputation, command, and in a word, whatever are not our own actions. He is a wise man who does not grieve for the things which he has not, but rejoices for those which he has. Between stimulus and response there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. We suffer more in imagination than in reality, and we are more often frightened than hurt. Wherever there is a human being, there is an opportunity for kindness. It does not matter what you bear, but how you bear it. The man who has anticipated the coming of troubles takes away their power when they arrive. We should not, like sheep, follow the herd of creatures in front of us, making our way where others go, not where we ought to go. We should always allow some time to elapse, for time discloses truth. How does it help to make troubles heavier by bemoaning them? It is not that we are given a short life, but that we make it short, and we are not ill-supplied, but wasteful of it. Never let the future disturb you. You will meet it, if you have to, with the same weapons of reason which today arm you against the present. If you really want to escape the things that harass you, what you're needing is not to be in a different place, but to be a different person. Any person capable of angering you becomes your master. He can anger you only when you permit yourself to be disturbed by him. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Begin each day by telling yourself, "Today, I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness, all of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil. But for my part, I have long perceived the nature of good and its nobility, the nature of evil and its meanness, and also the nature of the culprit himself, who is my brother. Not in the physical sense, but as a fellow creature similarly endowed with reason and a share of the divine. Therefore, none of those things can injure me, for nobody can implicate me in what is degrading. Neither can I be angry with my brother or fall foul of him, for he and I were born to work together, like a man's two hands, feet, or eyelids, or the upper and lower rows of teeth. To obstruct each other is against nature's law, and what is irritation or aversion but a form of obstruction? There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about the things which are beyond the power of our will. Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Don't seek to have events happen as you wish, but wish them to happen as they do happen, and all will be well with you. If fate can be overcome by tears, let us bring tears to bear upon it. Let every day be passed in mourning, every night be spent in sorrow instead of sleep. Let your breast be torn by your own hands, your very face attacked by them, and every kind of cruelty be practiced by your grief, if it will profit you. But if the dead cannot be brought back to life, however much we may beat our breasts, if destiny remains fixed and immovable forever, not to be changed by any sorrow, however great, and death does not loose his hold of anything that he has once taken away, then let our futile grief be brought to an end. Let us then steer our own course, and no longer allow ourselves to be driven leeward by the force of our misfortune. He is a sorry pilot who lets the waves wring his rudder from his grasp, who leaves the sails to fly loose and abandons the ship to the storm. But he who boldly grasps the helm and clings to it until the sea closes over him deserves praise, even though he be shipwrecked. If a person gave your body to any stranger he met on his way, you would certainly be angry. And do you feel no shame in handing over your own mind to be confused and mystified by anyone who happens to verbally attack you? Some things are within our power, while others are not. Within our power are opinion, motivation, desire, aversion, and, in a word, whatever is of our own doing. Not within our power are our body, our property, reputation, office, and, in a word, whatever is not of our own doing. An ignorant person is inclined to blame others for his own misfortune. To blame oneself is proof of progress, but the wise man never has to blame another or himself. Diseases of the mind are more common and more pernicious than diseases of the body. For such is the work of philosophy. It cures the soul, draws off vain anxieties, confers freedom from desires, drives away fears. We denounce with righteous indignation and dislike men who are so beguiled and demoralized by the charms of pleasure of the moment, so blinded by desire that they cannot foresee the pain and trouble that they are bound to ensue. And equal blame belongs to those who fail in their duty through weakness of will, which is the same as saying through shrinking from toil and pain. Philosophy is certainly the medicine of the soul. Its aid is not to be sought from without, as in diseases of the body. And we must labor with all our resources and with all our strength to cure ourselves. The beginnings of all things are small. I have always been of the opinion that infamy earned by doing what is right is not infamy at all, but glory. If a man aspires to the highest place, it is no dishonor to him to halt at the second, or even the third. We must not say that every mistake is a foolish one. For those who have not the means within themselves of a virtuous and happy life, every age is burdensome. And, on the other hand, to those who seek all good from themselves, nothing can seem evil that the laws of nature inevitably impose. When I reflect on this subject, I find four reasons why old age appears to be unhappy. First, that it withdraws us from active pursuits. Second, that it makes the body weaker. Third, that it deprives us of almost all physical pleasures. And fourth, that it is not far from death. We are not born for ourselves alone. A part of us is claimed by our nation. Another part by our friends. Let your desires be ruled by reason. Of all motives, none is better adapted to secure influence and hold it fast than love. Nothing is more foreign to that end than fear. True glory strikes root and even extends itself. All false pretensions fall as do flowers, nor can anything feigned be lasting. The life of the dead is placed in the memory of the living. While there are two ways of contending, one by discussion, the other by force, the former belonging properly to man, the latter to beasts, recourse must be had to the latter if there be no opportunity for employing the former. Any man can make mistakes, but only a fool persists in his error. Few are those who wish to be endowed with virtue, rather than to seem so. Constant practice devoted to one subject often prevails over both ability and skill. Time destroys figments of the imagination while confirming the judgments of nature. In a free hour, when our power of choice is untrammeled, and when nothing prevents our being able to do what we like best, every pleasure is to be welcomed, and every pain avoided. But in certain circumstances, and owing to the claims of duty or the obligations of business, it will frequently occur that pleasures have to be repudiated and annoyances accepted. The wise man therefore always holds in these matters to this principle of selection. He rejects pleasures to secure other greater pleasures, or he endures pains to avoid worse pains.